Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you? I do not hear the theme. I'm not hearing it. Tony, I'm not hearing the theme. I just said Miracle, welcome, it's Hardy White, Miracle Nutrition. I'm not hearing the... is there any way to get that in there later? Okay. Oh, friends, I am so excited today because I will be reciting my epic poem, America. And it's about America, that great nation. And by great, I mean like the great Tokyo 1924 earthquake, fire, and massacre. A greatness that cannot be equaled just by sheer historical girth. Let's call it. Oh, America, I will be listing all the positives and all the challenges that this country has and has had and has had will still. I'm going to take you on a journey through all of the 1950 states like we're going on a car trip. It's a sort of travel log. What's a travel log? Well, after the debut of Twin Peaks and The Log Lady, many people started bringing a small log on trips with them, just in case it had the spirit of a long-dead or recently dead relative or ancestor in it that could help you either while away the time or work as a sort of radar detector. My log says that there's smoky up here. Bears, there's bears up here. What are you talking about? Bears. You know, that's an old CB slang. Well, you know, words evolve. So there might be some overlap there, but what I mean by it is there's police up here looking for speeders. But we're not going to speed through the 50 states. We are going to take our time and take a good hard look. Are we a country? Are we a nation? Are we a buyer's rewards club? Which could be, too. I mean, I see that's some way I see my passport like that. They say, "Can do you have your passport?" And they stamp it. And I go, if I get 10, do I get a free bag of something? I always ask that at customs, and they never sort of get it, but I love it. Perhaps if they used a hole puncher instead of the old, what the French call a tampon or a sticker, a stamp. And I used to get stamps. Did you ever do that as a child? There's different custom stamps. You could get ones that said right on or something, or with a thumbs up that said wow or pow. And then you could put it on your papers. A lot of teachers, if they were really super neat, would get something like that. And if you got an A, they'd go take a sticker and go pow or something. You'd think you'd feel better about yourself. Well, this trip is not necessarily to feel better or worse about our oneself as citizens or non-citizens or resident aliens of this country. Whoever's here, this is where you're living your life. And I don't know what it says on your papers. And I don't know what you mean by your papers. It could mean anything. I've got papers on me right now. But a lot of them are just receipts that I've stuck in my pockets. So do you want a receipt? I guess so. And I just stick it in my pocket and I don't know what I'll use it for. I suppose if you're in a survival situation, you go, I guess this is my rolling papers. It's just a, receipt from Rite Aid, and it's the length of my arm, so it's quadruple wides or something. Come with me now, as I haven't begun my epic poem yet. Are you starting? Well, you know, some poetry, I don't know if you know this, is conversational like that. You say, is this fella doing a reading? Because when I was coming up, a poem would be, you know, and that's because I came up in the 1920s, right in the middle of Dada. And so people were doing these, what are you doing there? And so I've just recently come from Kurt Schwitter's house where I'm taking, like, lessons. I know it's absurd, but he's giving lessons in this sort of new primitive Dada poetry style. And I'm loving it. You know, it's like singing. You think you can do it. Then you go and you get instruction. You go, I've been sucking all along and I didn't realize it. And I guess it's that way with improvisational nonsense poetry. But this is not nonsense. This is, I'm going to take a trip. Now, I'm not going to go through the states in alphabetical order because that's not the way they're laid out. It would be lovely if it was all just a grid and it was all even. It was a grid and it was alphabetical east to west. That'd be so much easier. Say, why can't it be like that part of Barcelona with the rounded corners and it's all even? And it can't be. Not everything can be. I don't even think Disney World, where they had lots of opportunities to think about it and plan it out, it's even, we found out that there needed to be a cut through between Frontierland and old-timey Handlebar Mustache City. So then there's that road went through, and then when that went up, of course, there have to be the chocolate-covered pretzel hands that everybody loves from the movie Pretzel Hands. They had plenty of time, and they still, it catches you off guard, you know, because there's always changing needs. That's why us old-timers will look at and say, why wasn't Route 66 enough for them taking those trips across the country in there? Like George Maharis, all he needed was a convertible and Route 66 and a duffel bag full of cocaine and nudie mags or something. He's off there across the country. That isn't how it is anymore. And that's all right. Things change, and the young people, they need something more. When we would take road trips at Stuckey's, and horns was enough. And say, I need a pullover. Grandpa, I need a cheese log. He'd say, all right, why? Because I need some kind of pecan sweetie thing, like a pecan. Everything's a log. Isn't that interesting? Again, travel logs, you could eat some of them. Some of them were for talking to spirits. But there's a log for everybody and different sizes and circumferences of them. Now, we are going to set off starting from Maine. So I'm going to start there. And I'm going to say different things that I know about the places. Like, so Maine, I'll start. I'm not, again, the poem hasn't begun. But let's say Edna St. Vincent Millay. Who's that? She's a poet from Maine. And if you go there, sometimes you'll be looking at a rock and you go, there's a plaque on that rock. And say, read it out loud. It says, Edna St. Vincent Millay. She came here to visit but stayed. She wrote all her poems, and I don't know what it says, but it has an excerpt from that. And I think she wrote, I've never seen a poem lovelier than a tree. I think she wrote, no, I'm kidding. That was James Joyce. No, I mean Joyce Kilmer. I just did a Shelley Berman joke. He did this old... Who's Shelley Berman? Oh, bless your heart. Now, that's going back some. He did comedy albums, and he would do, like, imaginary phone calls. I've discussed this before. Y'all need to take the beginner course. Pop culture things you don't need to know that your grandpa goes on and on about as it forces you to listen to his old comedy albums. These are going to be yours someday. You better listen to them. And that's just the case. This is Martin Mull. You're going to love Martin Mull. And here's Red Fox. It's a little blue, but it's fun. And Dolomite's not for everybody. And I threw away all my Robin Williams, so I don't know what to tell you. And I have I keep a Cosby one just to spur conversations. Oh, in another universe, if all he had done was Mother Jugs and Speed, I ain't. But that's not how the world works. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to give you all of it right today. And we're going to be starting. Well, what about Shelley Berman? I'm going to have to come back to that. But he did James Joyce, Joyce Kilmer confusion with the, I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree, which is, it rhymes and everything. And I think what a lot of pseudo-intellectuals like himself were doing is mocking that idea of poems rhyming. And this is why people don't really dig poetry anymore. Because, well, now I get there's people that can rhyme great. Like Why would I need a poet when I have Jay-Z or something? And I can't argue with that. And so I like to go back to a style of poetry when people felt entitled to be listened to. And one of my Coleridge is one of my great, I think there's no one, I think, that has had such a powerful, egotistical self-delusion. Just wonderful, over the top, lovely. And I aspire to that. And I think you can just absolutely by the fact of your birth, you know, just say, what am I going to, I know I'm going to be something to people, whether it's their religious leader or some kind of writer that they admire. But just to feel that there's a star on my forehead. I feel special. Well, I don't feel special particularly. And I want to give that feeling to you, because I think maybe you feeling special is what's bringing on all your problems. I don't know. But here we're going to put it in perspective. It's nice to sometimes say, I don't want the whole responsibility for the world. I don't mind being small. It just means it's not my responsibility necessarily. You know, the bigger I feel, the more I feel I failed. But oh, my goodness. Well, maybe I'm not really capable of very much. I'm not selling myself short. I'm just recognizing my limited power in this world. Oh, it's vast, and I'm temporarily temporary. I will take you now on this poetic journey. I had to do that. The reason there's an 11, 12-minute introduction is because the poem's only 50 minutes long. I've timed it many times. Also, here's the thing. A lot of things, I wrote it over a long period of time, and things have changed, and I've had to white out stuff and put in past tense, you know. There's David Bowie, and he's not there. Not that he's American, but young Americans. So now we begin. America, I begin at your little tip part in Maine. Maine, a part of America, with cliffs looking out onto water over which came boats and still under which swim fish. Maine, home to writers such as, but not limited to, Stephen King, Edna St. Vincent Millay, and others. Maine, where I visited with my mother one time, and I believe we went to Camden, Maine, where her cousin had participated in a photography workshop. I then bought a t-shirt that said Camden, Maine. And the reason that I was interested in that is because my mother had grown up in South Jersey, near Camden, New Jersey. But we're not there yet, we're still in Maine, and now we leave Maine in what, a car? Are we in a car together? We're in a sort of cloud, we're in a sort of more than a car. We're in a TV set, we're in a house, we're in a spaceship, all of us together, united somehow with this label, and it's dependent on this strange geography over which most of us have no control. What is a Mainer to me? What is a New Hampshireite to me? Oh, when they vote and they vote first, the New Hampshireite is important. What about Vermont? What about Vermont? Let's go there now for a maple creamy. Let's go there now and see Champ, the monster that lives in Lake Champlain, lurking there like the Loch Ness Monster, except with a more friendly name, the name of a little 8-year-old child on a 50s sitcom. That's what it sounds like, right, Champ? Are you down there, Champ, in the depths of that lake? We don't know what things lurk, not only in that lake, but the whole soul of the nation, or let alone the people in Vermont. Leaving Vermont now, we go into Massachusetts and then into New York and then into Massachusetts and back into Massachusetts. Boston. Go with me now to a Boston Celtics game and Larry Bird. Larry Bird. The Hick from French Lick, Indiana. Oh my, so far. Oh, now we're in Indiana. Let's go back again. I tell you, it makes me dizzy. It's like looking at Google Earth. How can I be in two states at once? How can this person be in both Boston and Indiana? How can I be in the future and the present and the past and Massachusetts? Rhode Island. Rhode Island. Rhode Island. I met somebody from Rhode Island and they started speaking and I said, "That's you sound interesting." And they said, "I'm from Rhode Island." That's not how they said it. I'm remembering back and it's traumatizing me, not traumatizing me, but transforming, transporting me to that moment. And I got shook. Let's go back to New York. New York State, New York City. New York City is a city in New York State, and New York State is vast and contains also Buffalo and other things. How is that possible? How is it possible to go from Buffalo to New York City and then keep going? You can keep going right out there on Long Island. Long Island. All the way out there, that's still part of it. Right out, jutting into the sea. Come on back. You're scaring me. Come on back onto land with me, onto America, America, where New York again is. But let's not spend too much time there. I feel like Manhattan is an island weighed down by so much that's on it now. Never has there been more concrete on a small island. Never has there been greater emotional weight. Never have the sins of man soaked into the soil and rock of any one place for so long, weighing and pulling it down. Oh, the souls that cry out from lost New York. You'll never see them. They lie in the shadows of enormous tombs, skyscrapers that steal the light. Yes, but what about the setback laws? It could have been worse. They would have, if they could have made giant flowers out of concrete, each flower depriving of the one beneath it of their right to light. New Jersey. Oh, New Jersey, where Alexander Hamilton looked at a waterfall in Paterson and said, "I can turn that into money. All energy is money. I can form partnerships with entrepreneurs and manufacturers, and we can create industry here. We can take this natural beauty and transform it into mills and factories, great factories that blot out the light and create industry, money, all that natural force." He looked at that water cascading over those rocks, and all he could think of was gain. And then he died, shot dead. Dreams die. But then Patterson went on to become right around the waterfall, New Jersey. Great radio stations in New Jersey, I hear. Two ends of New Jersey, one a pork roll, one a Taylor ham, one a Taylor pork roll, one a ham roll. That's what they are, and they've come together. Oh, my goodness, South Jersey and North Jersey, at war once, their great capitals of Jersey City and Haddonfield in the South. And the great generals would clash there in the middle and say, "New Jersey is complex and strange and diverse and unexpected, and the butt of jokes, but also the site of great beauty and great natural beauty." And sometimes they come together, like in the Sopranos Pine Barrens episode, where something so beautiful and rare and fragile is the setting for dark comedy. America. Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Once they looked at Pennsylvania from heaven and they said Philadelphia would be a wonderful place to have some Duchamp art. We shall build a museum, they said, and in it we shall put some pieces by Marcel Duchamp, and they shall include the large glass. Large glass, aren't you afraid it will shatter and break? No, it'll be fine. And also, this installation where you peep in on a naked woman but only see part of her torso. Are you following me? Yes, I know it. That's a great thing to be there. Yes, let's put that there. And then, here's an interesting thing. That's a Philadelphia thing, not Duchamp reference.
Yes.
And then it's borrowed by former Philadelphia resident David Lynch in his series Twin Peaks, The Return, where the body of Ruth Davenport is posed very similarly to that installation by Duchamp. And now you know I don't have to do a YouTube video, not in this country, not in America. I can just be myself in the bars of New Jersey, in the shopping malls of Delaware. Hello, Delaware. Where you going?
I'm going over here to Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore. Why, I've been to Baltimore. Like, you know who else has been to Baltimore? Hans Conried. Oh, yes, and more. And Ringgold Katamite, or whatever his name was, one of those figures from early America, and so many more. Baltimore is known for this, and, I believe, some sort of crab spice. Moving on. There's other parts of Pennsylvania. I don't, you know, want to mislead you.
What about Pittsburgh?
What about Pittsburgh? Yins are calling to me from Pittsburgh.
Come to Pittsburgh.
I'm here. Now what?
All right.
Now where should we go?
Oil City.
Oil City, Pennsylvania. What's there?
You take a guess.
I bet there's no oil left anymore, because if there is oil, we'll take it. If there's a resource, it'll be stripped. It'll be used for something. Oh, isn't that awful that you take something like that, taking too much of it? Yes. And that's what we like to do. We take all of it and deplete it. That may not be the best thing to do. And I'm not sure that that it's even possible.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, eventually you destroy yourself. So there you go. It stops. There's an automatic stop mechanism. So we'll just count on that. Travel with me now to the great state of Virginia. Virginia. Oh, I've been to Virginia. Because there's a Lexington, Virginia. And that's where Cy Twombly's from.
He's dead.
I've whited that out. You can see it's whited out.
Been dead for a while.
I whited it out a long time ago. Just go to West Virginia, won't you? Go to West Virginia, and I'll tell you why. Because if you go to West Virginia, you'll see one of those pizza places that has animatronic figures from the Rockabilly Rock Fire Explosion, with a gorilla playing the piano. And you can see them in a state of disrepair. And you can, in this country, take a video of that disrepair, and other people can see it, and they can somehow love this thing, this phenomenon, this exploitive, weird entertainment for children, and they are so enamored because their nostalgia embraces them and gives them a warmth, an all-encompassing embryonic fluid that makes things good again, and they get them fixed and repaired because they need the past to be back and pristine. They need those beautiful experiences of childhood over and over again. Please show me the cartoons of my youth on an endless loop with my eyes pried open like Alex in Clockwork Orange.
You mean a Clockwork Orange?
There was two. There was A Clockwork Orange, and then there's a lesser known Clockwork Orange, or The Clockwork Orange. And there's Clockwork Orange Redux, which is was not released in this country, but it was in other countries, and it was made by Canon Films. So there's a lot of films like that. Canon Films, oh, they not from here, but they understand the spirit of things. You take what you do is you take a movie, and then you take out all the non-essential parts. Like you buy an airplane, and you take off everything that you don't need, like wings or a steering wheel. And then you can truly soar. Only then we can fly through Pennsylvania. You know who owned this? Penn. Penn. He didn't live long enough to enjoy it, maybe, though, because everybody dies. So even if you own all of Pennsylvania, doesn't matter. What if you own all of Ohio? Oh, I don't know what you do with it. You know, it's round on the end, and high, what's high in the middle? High in the middle of what? Well, I don't know. Like a Barcelona block. We talked about that earlier. It is rounded on the end. Ohio, home of Cincinnati, a place that I've mentioned many, many times. Cincinnati, home of Cincinnati-style chili. If you like chili with cinnamon in it, that's the one you want. Cinnamon to the nut of a chili. Nothing better. Because we all do things a little differently. This is a place where you can put cinnamon in your chili. And no one's going to say anything. That's not true. People will say something. But hopefully, they live far away in Indiana. They're living there with the Jackson 5 and Larry Bird. And guess what? They used to play basketball. Larry Bird would take on the entire Jackson 5 right there. They'd come down from Gary, Indiana to French Lick. And dang old Larry Bird, he'd say, "You come with me now. I want to take you somewhere." And he'd take them to one of the old historic hotels there, like the West Baden Inn or something like that. He'd say, "Look at this place. Isn't this crazy? You guys want to play basketball? Or do you just, or maybe we could play some jazz?" And then they would all of them secret jazz fans, would just set up in the lobby and they'd play jazz. They all loved Mingus. They just go through like Mingus's entire catalog. And if you don't think Larry Bird couldn't play stand-up bass well, then I don't think you know very much about basketball or America. America, where we make up stories about ourselves, like Michigan. Oh, Michigan's an interesting state because it's got part of it isn't connected to itself. And that's interesting. That's like there's a character in the in the Strugatsky brothers' book, Monday Starts on Saturday, that is two versions of himself. He's two different people, but he's the same person. But there's two of them. He's not twins. It's the same individual. There's just two manifestations of them, one a little brighter than the other. So I'm not saying that about the Upper Peninsula or anything, but I'm saying there's two Michigans, aren't there? And that's like all Americans. We all have our Upper Peninsula. And when people say UP, and go, "I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not from there." And then they have to explain it to you. Oh, it can get cold. "I once visited Mackinac Island with my family in the summer when most people go. There are no cars, just horse-drawn carriages and large piles of horse excrement, so that the entire island smells like horse crap and freshly made fudge." That's not a euphemism. They also made fudge and other kinds of sweets. There's fun houses and things that people on vacation like to do. But in the winter the lake freezes over and there's no getting there by boat. But sometimes the deer and other animals walk back and forth across the ice, like little ice road truckers, but with hooves. Now, if you remember correctly, some of the ice road truckers did have hooves. There was the one fella who was a satyr. Do you remember that? Or a centaur? I get them confused. Is that racist? Now come with me to Wisconsin. Wisconsin. And the first thing you're going to think of is cheese. But then that second thing you're going to think of is it beer? But the third thing isn't beer cheese. That's because not everything can be combined. When we think beer cheese, I would think maybe Kentucky did it a little better. But let's not digress. There's lots of circling back on this car trip. You're going too far west. You're going too far west. Go south for a while. Well, let's just compromise and go to Kentucky. And we will zip back up to Minnesota from Louisiana. Well, that doesn't make sense. That actually makes a lot of sense because we're going to follow the Mississippi River. We're going to follow the Great Mississippi, which divides this country in half. Well, not in half, like in, well, it depends what you know. Not in half, like in a third. Okay. It's a long river. You could even, it's so long, many people hyphenate it with the ASS intensifier. Because it really is that long. But let's go to Tennessee, where they know a little something about music. And guess what else they know a little something about? Making whiskey, not quite as well as Kentucky. North Carolina! Raise up, take your shirt off, wrap it around your head, spin it like a helicopter. I'm telling you, North Carolina. Home of many people and wrestlers and also people who sang in the high lonesome voice like Bert Zilla Wallen or one. Yes, you get in that Appalachian culture and there were some singers back then like the Wallens. Now, you might have heard a more modern rendition of her famous song in the movie called George Clooney. And it was "Oh Death." Is this still the poem? This is still in the poem. I told you a lot of poetry sounds conversational because that's the way we speak and write. If you're going to speak it, you're going to write it like you speak it. When I speak it to you, it'll sound like improvised speech. But it's not. It's written. It's written on the pad of the brain. That's where it's written. It's written in North Carolina by the likes of Bert Zilla Wallen, who sang, pardon me, I'm going to have to pull back. This is not the poem. Dead, but it'll be edited out. That's the wonderful thing. The engineer's in there making notes down, going like 3259, cut, and then started. He just starts it again, and this won't even, you won't even hear this, so I don't know why I'm so, death, oh death, how can it be that I should come and go with it? It goes on like that. Oh. Thinking about death and life in the mountains and the beauty of those mountains. Can you imagine sitting in those woods that seem like they're out of some fantasy novel? So I'm going to play wizard. That's how beautiful these waterfalls are. I'm a wizard standing by the waterfall. But see, if you had to subsist there and you brought your family there, you might think, death, oh death. It's the same place. Is it heaven or is it hell? It's perspective. South Carolina. Oh my goodness. Charleston, South Carolina. The Constitution there predated the Constitution of the United States, and the Constitution that they drew up in South Carolina included religious liberty we no longer have. It said that any dozen people was a church. But that was a religion. It recognized that the way we organize ourselves and our spiritual beliefs should not be sanctioned by the government. They don't get a vote on what's your belief. They don't get a vote on who's in your congregation. But that way of thinking was not popular, and we realized that, my goodness, yes. Yes, we do. You can't just believe anything or have any kind of group of people thinking a thing. You got to prove your religious revelation, perhaps, to a panel of judges. And that's how we got our theology Supreme Court that we have now in 2089. Oh my goodness, I'm going too far with the American, but I'm a time traveler, so sometimes I add verses that haven't come to pass yet. Go with me now to Georgia. I'm going to bring you to Georgia. You want to go to Camilla? Where do you want to go in Georgia? You want to go to Thomasville? That's all down south. You want to go to Blairsville? That's up in the north. You want to go to Rome? You want to go to Athens? You can go to any of those places. In Georgia. Atlanta. Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play and they ride on something like every day. And you can go and you can hear, you know, Frank Ski or something. I don't know what you're going to do. You're going to go to Club Kaya. But let me tell you something about Atlanta. When Atlanta was named, it was first named a couple of other things. When it was the end of the railroad, the last stop of the railroad, it was called Terminus. Terminus. The last stop. Is it a new beginning or is it an end? Terminal. You have a terminal illness. What? What are you saying? You're going to die? Oh, I didn't mean to put it that way. I mean, there's going to be a stop to it. What? I don't know. I don't know what I mean. I know that it's time to go to Florida. It's never time to go to Florida. Yes, it is. Well, no, it's not because it's summer. That's a good point. Oh, Florida used to be closed during that certain months. Say August, we're just going to go ahead and close. And they did because you could cook things on the pavement and people would make entire breakfasts on the sidewalk. And the original Denny's Moons Over Miami were made outside under the moon. It was that hot at night that you could fry eggs on the sidewalk in Hollywood, Florida. In the middle of the night. And that's also how we get, you know, the expression a Boca omelet. Oh, you sit in a car and you go, oh, my butt is now a Boca omelet. And you can smell, it smells sort of acrid because when human flesh burns, it smells like burnt egg. That's what I was told. But I don't know that that's right. I always say, if you can't caramelize it with heat, then you shouldn't burn it. There is so much to do in Florida. Well, where do I begin? There's Key West at one tip, and then there's Pensacola and Jacksonville at the other end, and it's shaped real weird, and it's shaped like the handle of a pan. But the pan broke off because you overheated it, and part that attaches to the pan up near Jacksonville smells bad. We don't know why. Oh my goodness, there's the middle. There's a hole in the middle of the handle. What's inside of the hole? It's all the crazy people from up north who came down here because they had to run away. And they started their own church and they all work at the park. That's how you sum it up. There are different parts of Florida. It's very complex, and in so many ways, it's a mirror on the rest of the country. For instance, in Sarasota, Florida, there is a Ringling Museum. Now, Ringling once famously said, come to my circus, he said. So I have a circus, and I want you to come to it. And then they started a museum there using his great wealth. And they purchased what all great museums do, Marcel Duchamp paintings that predated his surrealist Dada phase. Yes. Let's go now to St. Petersburg.
Russia?
Florida.
To see Grammy?
No, not to see Grammy.
To see Dali?
To see Dali. Where the Salvador Dali Museum is in St. Pete, because it retired there. The Salvador Dali, a lot of his later pieces were feeling very old, and they were kind of sickly. And their doctor said, you want to go someplace where it's kind of warm all the time. And they said, also, I need access to cigars and sponges. And they go, well, Tampa is really nearby St. Pete. And say, St. Pete? What do you mean? St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg, Russia? The museum at this point was very weak, but then it flew out there from its home in Caracas, which, strangely enough, in Spain is even more beautiful. And right on the Mediterranean there, and just spectacular, with white homes overlooking the water. And there's, I can see, you know, why would you leave it? I don't know. I think part of it is that when museums get to a certain age, they don't like to drink wine out of a poron. And what is that? What are you saying? It's one of those glass, it looks like a bong, but the end is all tapered and you, it makes a nice stream and you can pour it right into your mouth, or it's called a poron. And if you ever spent any time in that part of Spain, in the country in Catalan, and then you would know about this. America. America. They're not in Spain. Florida. Spain was in Florida. And you can see it reflected in the architecture. Oh, it's so strange the way it's still there, lurking in South Florida as elements in the architecture of Addison Meisner and others. I'm learning so much about the... Let's go to Alabama, where my cousins used to live. And Alabama, what's there? Oh, that's where Kevin Nutt thinks he met me. Oh, let's go now to Mississippi. Mississippi has so many. Are we going to go north in a minute? First, we have to jump down to Louisiana. And I want to go down to New Orleans just for a second. Why? Why go to New Orleans just for a second? Because I have to do something at a certain grave. And I'll just be absolutely 2 seconds. And I'm going to need some blood. But it's not voodoo I'm doing. Absolutely isn't. And even if I did, that's not even the type of voodoo that I do. So I'm just going down here to see somebody. Maybe play a little jazz. Maybe get a little... take in some of the urine smell and just get inspired and think about, I don't know, maybe buying an above ground tomb. Even in places where you can be buried, it's kind of fun. I don't know, it's fun. And if they don't have to dig you up, they just slide the lid off and there you are, right there, not with the worms. Let's go north now. We're going to go up the Mississippi River. We're going to go, there's Arkansas. Hey, Arkansas.
Hey, I'm chewing on a piece of wheat.
You are, aren't you?
Yep. Here I am.
What happened?
I'm choking on wheat a little bit.
Take off your straw hat and use that.
For what?
I'm not sure. I need to go to St. Louis, Missouri, because I don't need no hook on this thing. I'm going to go see Nellie and some other friends there. And... Saint Lunatic or something. I don't want to go there, but I'll keep going. I know my place. And it's Iowa, because I ordered some corn and I'm going to go pick it up. But first I got stuck because I went to pick up my corn in Iowa. And then I got drawn into this writer's program. And I was there at this writer's workshop in Iowa for many, many years, writing short stories about my plight as a affluent, white, middle-aged person and how hard it was. And then I read some early 30s, 40s Japanese eye novels, and I just gave up. I said, I can't do it. I can't do it as well as that. I'll never be that whining and self-indulgent. I can't do it. And I gave up, and I went and I harvested corn, and I would use the corn cobs to make corn cob pipes. And I would teach people how to do a one-man show as General MacArthur and say, kill him with tanks. I'm not sure what General MacArthur said exactly. Oh, I know he said, I need to know if Japanese theater is a threat. Now you say, are you getting confused with like Pacific Theater, who's commander of the Pacific Theater? No, I'm telling you that MacArthur had his translator examine whether Japanese theater was political and needed to be censored or controlled in any way. And his translator did a deep dive into Kabuki and no, and basically said, nobody understands this. It's not a problem. And he's absolutely right. But he also said, this is wonderful. Oh, I love it. I love it. And he was hooked. And everybody since then who is, I don't know how we got from MacArthur to Japan, but that's the beauty of America. America, where one minute you can be in Missouri or Iowa thinking you're at a writer's program, and the next minute you're in Minnesota. Oh, Minnesota, where I have friends. I have friends that live there and I've never been. That's just the way with a lot of states like North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska. The only reason I would go to Nebraska is to go there because I've heard it was nice. And I went to visit the place where Johnny Carson was born. Why? Are you a Johnny Carson fan? No. No. I just thought I'd say that. Because I'm really headed to Kansas. Kansas, right there in the middle. Just like that big rock in the middle of Australia. You say, how did this big rock get here? Ayers Rock in the middle of Kansas. Kansas, right in the middle of everything. Oh, but it's no rock. It's like a rock that's been flattened out like paper. And then on the paper, you put all these little people. And what are they doing? They don't know. Bless them. Bless all of them. They don't know. They think, maybe I should go to Oklahoma. Why? And they think, well, if somebody like James Garner is from Oklahoma, if there's a musical called Oklahoma, O-K-L-A-H-O-M-A, Oklahoma. All right. That's how it goes. And there's even some weird, great stuff in Oklahoma. There's Surreys with fringe on top. It goes on and on. In Kansas, you could get blown away in your house if you're a teenager. You get having the worst day. You lost your dog. You've been bullied by adults, and now your house is blown away in these tornadoes because of this open space with no mountains, and you crave something with a little more texture. And that's Texas. There's nothing that has more texture. You know how sometimes they'll put lumps or bumps on things so it doesn't drop out of your hand? That's Texas. It's like a pistol grip. It's been all messed up so that you don't drop it while you're trying to kill something. Oh, Texas. It's like a beautiful person that you've met. You're a vampire who drinks oil, and you've met the most beautiful neck in the world you can sink your teeth into. Say, Texas. beautiful mountains, so beautiful you name them things like Beaumont. And there is no more beautiful place, I'm sure. One time in Austin, Texas, a man named Mojo Nixon was singing a song. And he sang that song so loud and for so long that people forgot it. And then things moved on. And then Texas began to expand like a great balloon. And it didn't know itself any longer. And so we're gonna leave because it's scaring me. You're scaring me. I love you. Why are you scaring me? New Mexico. Oh, bless you. So confused with Mexico. You want to be, stand out like the New Testament. I'll call myself the New Testament. So I'm not like the Old Testament. But then they confuse you with the Old Testament all the time. Anyway, that's not fair. You're new. This isn't the same old thing. This is to give it a little taste. See, there's more something in it. Whatever made the old one great? What made Mexico great? Cumin? This is better. This is better. Colorado. The great Colorado River, running from Colorado all through it and then all sorts of places as well. Colorado, where we get into Wyoming, where people live, and Montana and Idaho. My nephew just moved from Idaho to North Georgia, and I'm excited because I like my nephew and his wife, and I like to visit them sometimes, even though he does a lot of fly fishing, and I find that corny. But that's all right. That's just me. I just knew a lot of people who were RCA executives and things who did fly fishing like that, and I'm still laughing at them. Oh, bless them. No, I'm bless them, not bless them, but oh, I love my nephew. Yes, he's an accountant. Oh, Idaho, I'm not going to say potato, but I'm going to think it, and it's hard to think something and not say it. Utah. Oh, you know what? There's a lot of women, but there's more men. Get it? We start our own religions here. You can. I'd like to start one right now called Car Trip America. That's a dumb name. Well, we're going to change it. As soon as something bad happens, if one of you do something that makes the papers, we're changing it anyway. So you don't get married to any one name. You got to be flexible. Oh, I believe what I want to believe, say a lot of people. My grandfather used to say, what do you believe? Because, well, I believe what I believe. It doesn't always necessarily line up with the churches, but I have my own beliefs in my heart. And I said, what are they? I'm not going to tell you. He never told me. I don't know. But he was a decent person, so I assumed they were all right. He did say that he had a fondness for fire and brimstone sermons, but he wasn't that sort of person. And I always thought that was interesting. He liked someone standing up there in front of him going, you are doomed. Your actions will lead to your eternal punishment. And he really liked thinking about those kind of things. He didn't necessarily want to go around saying them all week, but it's like getting really excited listening to metal. So you're listening to your favorite very, very aggressive metal. It doesn't mean that you're going to do that every day, all day. That's why I don't understand the actual musicians in the band. It's like, holy cow, that's all, you know, do you take a break? Yes, to go fly fishing. Nevada. Gambling. Why is that the first thing you think of?
Because of the mafia?
I don't know.
Let's go and make casinos there.
Let's go and let people take a risk. Let them wager. Let them put some money out and maybe make a lot back, but maybe lose it all. And that's when they do, when they invest in business or anything. This is just a quicker way of doing it. This is just cutting out the middleman. Just take your money and about 80% of you just throw it in the garbage. That's what happens anyway when you start a business. Except when you start a business, you get emotionally attached to the thing you're doing. And you start to tell yourself you're not doing it for money. I'm doing it because I love the community and I want them to have good baked things. But really, at the end of the day, I wonder if that's enough. Will you find what you want, that love you want, acceptance? I want to fit in. Oh, America, love me. I don't want to be too obvious about it. I don't want to be too needy. I don't want to feel like I need you, but I'm trapped here. It's like being in a family. Oh, I'd rather be in a house that loved me. Because when I leave, where do I go to? Oregon? Washington? I'm Angelo Badalamenting, but bad. And I'm Twin Peaksing. And I'm Twin Peaksing right now. Are you going to skip California? I think I will. Arizona? Let's go right through California. California is very complicated. And it's also a microcosm. For what? United Federation of Space. So in the future, when we run into other alien species, our whole relationship is a lot like California. There's parts of it, northern parts of the state, very different. And a lot of space admirals retire to Space San Diego. But that's far in the future. And so that, you know, all those places become, a lot of planets become unaffordable because of this. And a lot of weather on those planets, too. You say, well, why is Argos 9 always burning? It goes very dry on Argos 9. That's just the way it is. You can't control everything. See, it's so greedy. I want to build a mansion on a cliff that overlooks the ocean so I can get a view. You know what you're going to get a view of? The rocks below the cliff at some point, because it's going to erode. You are on a thing that is moving and eroding and evolving and changing. You cannot stop the future. You're on a moving object. America, it's moving under your feet. America, it's alive. America, it's doing things that you don't know what it's doing in the middle of the night. America, it's crawling around like roaches in the wall. You've got roaches in the walls of your apartment buildings, and they aren't really bothering you, but you can't control what they're doing. All you can think about is that they're there, and that alone is making you crazy. What if I have an encounter? What if I have an encounter with somebody from, oh, I don't know, Kansas? What will I do if they come crawling out of the wall? What will I do if I'm confronted with these other people who have the same name but aren't me? You know, it's a bit like being a Johnson or a Smith or something. You might be other Johnsons. Let's not use that name. I know, Schwantz. No, let's say Jones. Let's say you're a Jones and you meet other Joneses from other places and you say, I don't think we have anything in common. I think our ancestors had addictions or cravings or something like that, and that's why they named us that, and that's all we have in common. Was, well, we're having a Jones family reunion, and you live in wonderful, lovely Jonestown, and so can't we all be, I pick the most unfortunate things, but that's because everything is messed up. Everything is imperfect. Everything is embedded. Every gem is embedded in some ugly rock. We are a culture like that, a society. If you need things perfect, you can't be here. It's an imperfect place. If you want to put things in order, you're going to break everything. You break things. If you try to, some things you can't clean, you're going to destroy them. Because there's a chaos that creates the balance. There's contradictions that create a sort of balance, like in a swimming pool. So I'm going to add some muriatic acid. I'm going to add some chloride. Ba-da-ba-ba-dum-dum. I'm going to dip my pH strip into it. All right, it didn't fall off from burns. I love you, my friend. Why? Because you're a fellow human being. If you're listening to this, you're a thoughtful fellow human being. And I appreciate that. Maybe we don't agree, but I can't see how that is possible since I didn't say anything. Oh, my friends, you were listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU, East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York, and online, WFMU.org worldwide. Thank you for listening, and I will see you, sweet spirits, next week.
tell the story. No mind their wonder. Thoughts portrayed within the surface. Visual reading. Obtain freedom to be all that you wish. A dream brought into being. Escape from a trap. Invisible to the naked eye, the wisdom possesses sight. See into the time to come, shades of light. The transition from the moon to the sun. In their eyes, I see a race possessing one frame of mind. With nothing to fear.
Life.